Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Hey, good morning, everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio land. This is Brilliant Ideas, and this is the Brilliant Ideas Radio Show, as the man said, and welcome to another fun-filled entertainment foodie show that we bring to you every Saturday morning. At least we try to, as long as Blog Talk Radio will allow us to, and it looks like the system is working for us this morning, so that's good news for a change. And welcome again, like I said, to the show. We have a great show planned this morning. We have special guest Marie Simmons joining us this morning later on, and she is an award-winning cookbook writer, and the lady's got all kinds of cookbooks she's written, and maybe she can teach me a few things about cooking. And then after Marie is on with us, we'll be having celebrity chef Diane DeMaio, DeMaio. I've said it like three different ways, but she'll be joining us after that. And she was recently on the ABC show called The Taste, and she'll be joining us after Marie. And then finally, after that, we will be having an alternative rock band called Define the Revolution. So I'm kind of going off the edge here today and going to try out some different type of music. And that will be our guest lineup. But before we go to our guest lineup, of course, we have to bring on our one, our only, Joyzy Style food news girl, Laurie, calling from New Jersey this morning. Good morning, Laurie. The system's working. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Thank you for joining us. And last week, you were in Annapolis, Maryland.
Yes, I was, and I had a blast.
For those who may not be familiar with, didn't listen to last week's show, the Annapolis Food Group, I think they call themselves Friends in Food. They meet once every 3 months, and Laurie attended their little outing where everybody comes together, brings all kinds of fancy foods, and sit back and eat, drink, and be merry, I guess is the way to put it. And Laurie, you were there, and it sounds like you had quite a crew there. And tell us a little bit about what happened and what you learned while you were there in Annapolis.
Oh, I got to meet the most wonderful friends. I got to meet several of my Facebook friends who I never met before. I met Maria Springer. She's unbelievable. Talk about a talented person with her baking and her cooking. And I got to meet Greg Blanton, who's just a barbecue extraordinaire. He was smoking pork and chicken and salmon. He made the most delicious Brunswick stew, and I got to try that. If people don't know what Brunswick, did you ever have Brunswick stew?
Yeah, when I was a kid growing up in Virginia, North Carolina, we always had Brunswick stew. In fact, there was a place, I'll never forget it, it was in a little town called Weldon, North Carolina, called Ralph's Barbecue, and I was probably, I don't know, 10, 11 years old, and my parents would always go there. They used to have a place on the lake, and we would stop at Ralph's Barbecue and have Brunswick stew, and I've never forgotten Brunswick stew since then. I mean, it was the best stuff I ever had, but I assume it's made the same way. Did it have the corn and the pork and all the different veggies inside?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, I never had it before, so it was interesting to try it. It's a tomato base, and he had lots of vegetables. You're right, he had corn. I was trying to think of the other vegetables he had in there. And it has meat. And it was funny because he wanted all the girls to stir it, so we were all taking turns stirring it, and they kept tasting it, and they kept adding more and more Tabasco. And they were like, don't tell Greg, and they're adding more. I'm going, you guys are adding too much Tabasco. So I started tasting it. I'm like, oh, actually, it's pretty good. So when he came in, we were teasing him, and he liked it too. So, I mean, some people like it a little more spicy. So yeah, it was good. And then, of course, Brian Fairchild was there, our wine czar.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. He brought some really lovely wines, and everybody enjoyed drinking them. And it was nice because Donna had me sleep over. It was cute.
Uh-huh.
Girls sleep over. So I was able to drink a little more. Not that I was drunk, but of course not. But I did get to drink more than usual. I would, you know, usually have just one drink if I was driving. But I had, I don't know, I lost count.
So what kind of wine did he have?
Well, before I forget, actually, Brian brought a wine to taste in your honor.
Oh, really?
And it was, uh-huh. And we toasted to you. It was a California Zinfandel, because we know you love that now.
Right.
It was an old vine called Turley.
Turley?
Turley? T-U-R-L-E-Y?
Yeah, I've actually had Turley wine, this was years ago, in Atlanta, Georgia. I had Turley wine. Yeah, I'll be honest with you, I didn't really care for it, but I was at a restaurant. I can't remember the name of the restaurant now, but it was in Atlanta, Georgia, and I was with a whole group of people, and they ordered Turley because someone there said how great it was. I personally did, but it was very expensive. But, yeah, I actually had Turley wine.
Well, it's funny that you said that because I wasn't crazy about it either. I mean, it's good. To me, it tastes more like a port. It's kind of heavier, sweet, and I just think for a dessert wine, it would have been nicer. So I did have a little bit because it was, you know, for you. And then I switched back to the one he gave me before was called Colomé? Colomé, I hope I'm saying that right. It's from Argentina. It's a red wine. It was really good, a Malbec.
Well, the Turley, that Turley is about 100, 120 bucks a bottle, isn't it?
I think in restaurants, it was expensive. Yeah, he brings some good wines. He's a very generous person, and he brought.
Well, I'm sitting here calculating. So if it's $120 a bottle, I can get Big Kahuna for $1.99. Let's see, divided by two, that's 60 bottles. I could have 5 cases of Big Kahuna wine, and probably have a little left over to buy some chips.
Okay, so now we're all going to fly out to California, and you're going to have a party.
So you guys can drink your fancy Turley wine at 120. I'll get the 60 bottles of Big Kahuna, yeah, and definitely throw a party.
and there's leftover for some Lay's chips.
Yes, definitely.
And burgers, and you could really throw a big party with all that money.
Yeah, hey, I may be cheap, but I'm fun. So what other things did you guys have there at the Annapolis Food Group?
Oh, you know what? I had the menu. You know, I'm going, what did I do with that menu? I put it aside to read it.
Well, that's okay. You're only on the radio and supposed to be prepped for the radio show, but that's okay. You only have to do this once a week for like 15 or 20 minutes, but that's okay. Well, here's the question. What did you bring to the party?
Oh, what did I bring? I brought lemon squares that my sister Suzanne helped me make because people know I'm not a cook. I only bake a few things. I'm spoiled. I let the restaurants and the chefs do it for me. You know, they kind of cook for me.
Right.
So I brought that, and then I also brought Donna a beautiful, beautiful wine basket, and I picked out some really nice wines for her to enjoy when she's by herself with her husband.
Well, it sounds like you guys had a good time, and today I don't have a whole lot of time because we've got our guests lined up, and I know you have to go, so I'm going to speed you along here. And do you have any food news you want to share with us? We got time for probably one story, and then we got to move on to our first guest.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to do. I was going to talk about the wine, and I found this one article, thanks to Sunbless, but I also had read it somewhere else, and it's adorable. It's about Easter. It says, at 60, Peeps more popular than ever. You know, the little marshmallow sticks. You know, I'm not...
Let me tell you, first of all, before you tell your little story about Peeps,
mm-hmm.
I do not like Peeps. I can't stand Peeps. Peeps give me the creeps. They're kind of, they remind me of gnomes or something. I mean, they're just, I don't like Peeps, never have liked Peeps, but I understand Peeps are very, very popular nowadays, but just I'm going to go on record is I'm not a Peep fan.
Wait a minute.
Peep show, maybe, but.
Oh, geez. It's only 11:40 and you're starting.
I know.
Well, it's actually earlier there and you're starting. Oh, boy. Typical. No, the only time I like marshmallows are when you roast them, like on a fire pit.
Right.
That's the only way. I don't eat them, what is it, Malamars? They have the chocolate with the marshmallow.
Right,
I think that's
right.
Yeah, my whole family, my mom just bought them at the store. She's got Malamars in the cabinet. I'm going, I just don't eat that.
So what's
the story
about Peeps?
It says, it's Easter morning. A boy rushes his younger brother, and they run to the living room to find their baskets filled with what else? Peeps. Peeps are the candy of Easter. The excited boy tells his wide-eyed sibling, who pops a yellow marshmallow chick in his mouth. You can eat them, you can smash them, microwave them, deep fry them, which I never heard. You can roast them on a stick. Yes, I believe that. And the boy explains, that's not all. You can make a Peeps topiary, hide-and-go Peeps, Peepshi, which is sushi made out of Peeps, you know.
Man, you know what you can do with Peeps? You want to tell you what's the best thing to do with Peeps?
No, you
want to know the best thing for Peeps? You can throw them in the trash.
And then the dogs will smell it and sniff it out and start eating them.
Oh, man. Peepsy, you said Peepsy. That's a sushi made out of Peeps.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Hide and go Peeps. I thought that was cute. Okay.
All right.
As the toy candy brand celebrated 60th anniversary this year, Peeps' first TV ad in a decade captures an essential truth about the spongy confection made of sugar, corn syrup, and gelatin. I saw the video of this. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable, the Peeps that they put out. Love them or hate them, that's me and you, people do all sorts of things with their Peeps, only some of which involve giving them to kids at Easter or eating them straight from the box. And they're not shy about sharing. Well, am I almost done? I mean, do I have a couple more minutes to finish this?
You've been out of time for the last 3 minutes, but is there anything exciting about Peeps you want to tell us?
Oh, it was a fun story. Well, let's see. Should I take the end? What does it say at the end? Okay, here we go. There's a lot of gray area, Bourne says diplomatically. There are people who tell me to lay it on top of the refrigerator for 2 days, no more, no less, and they're perfect to eat.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily stale. It's just a little firmer. It's just like politics, says Jess Bourne's Commander in Peep. You've got
Commander
people way on one side and way on the other, but there are a whole lot of people in the middle.
Yeah, well, whatever. I'm not a Peep fan, definitely. So on that little note, I'm going to bring on my first guest here. I'm going to take a little break, and I know you have to go. And wanted to
take my mom shopping.
Yeah, so you gotta take your mom shopping. So an appropriate song to take a break would be Amelia Varney, who was one of our guests, about 3 weeks ago. And Amelia, I tried to play her song 3 weeks ago, and we had technical difficulties. And the song is called I Want You to Go. So, Laurie, I want you to go. Enjoy your day out shopping. Thank you for sharing your little story about Annapolis and your little Peep show, and have a fun weekend.
You too. Take care now. Bye-bye.
I can't believe the way you wipe me off my feet. Kind of magic, the way you used your charm, and my whole world was lying right there in your arms. Lately things have changed.
Every Easter, I have to buy a package.
Well, I don't know what it is. Yeah. When I was a kid, I must have been, there was something traumatic must have happened when it came to peeps, because peeps just give me the creeps. So.
It probably was your refined palate. You were already, you know, honing it from a young age. And, you know, it's just like, oh, I can't do this. You know, we're born snobs, I think, sometimes, but we just can't help it, you know.
That's what it was. I'm a big snob. That's what it was. I was born a snob. My palate just can't handle peeps.
Nope. You got to have pure foods, you know. Anyway, but I don't have a recipe for. Well, I've been cooking since I was very young. Grew up in an Italian family with a nonna who just, you know, she gathered me at her side on Saturday mornings, and I spent my play dates with her cooking. So that's where, you know, she was my mentor, and I think that's where I got the idea that cooking was fun. And for some reason, I studied foods and nutrition in college, which was totally boring, but I didn't have a lot of choices when I was going to college way back in, you know, medieval times. And but I just fell into working at magazines. I worked on a magazine in test kitchens and creating recipes and doing food photography, and I just loved it. It was a nice mixture of my cooking skills, my creativity, and I just kept at it. And then pretty soon I went from one magazine to the next, going sort of up the ladder, and then I ended up starting to write cookbooks. And I've written over 20. I don't count them anymore. They're just, it's too silly to count them. Some of them I've collaborated on, so there's like kind of half cookbooks. And what I must say, appropriate for this time of year is the Good Egg.
Well, that's the one I was going to ask you about. That one, that's a biggie. Yeah. That one won the James Beard Award, right?
It did, which was a total, you know, shock to me. I was actually living in California at the time, and I did not go back to New York. I did get the nomination, but I was so wiped out from doing this book. When it was finally published, I was like, whatever, you know. I didn't go to the big festivities, and so the phone started ringing like immediately. You know, our friends and colleagues in New York were calling us in California. You won, and I was just pretty amazed.
Wow.
It was quite a tome, over 200 recipes for eggs. A little before its time, the year 2000, people were still suffering fear of eggs, which is why I wrote the book, because I just loved eggs and all they could do. So that's the Good Egg story.
So the Good Egg story is, and you wrote the book, and it got the James Beard Award. And by the way, too, some of the people may not know, the James Beard Award is an exclusive group of people that not many people have won that. Can you tell a bit about what that is, what that's all about, what the James Beard Award is?
Well, James Beard, as some of you may know, was the, you know, sort of the father of American cuisine. And interestingly enough, he was an Oregon boy. He was from Oregon. But anyway, he ended up in New York and, you know, taught cooking classes, had a beautiful house in the village called that has been taken over by a group of people called the James Beard House. And they put together this award, and they honor fine chefs who just represent good American cooking, chefs throughout the country, cookbook authors, writers, anything to do with food. And they do this big gala. It's kind of like the equivalent of the big film awards.
Yeah, the Academy Awards. That's what people have told me. It's like the Academy Awards of food is the James Beard.
Food. And it's actually staged that way with a lot of drama and, you know, lights and, you know, celebrities and that sort of thing. And they, what they do is they have, it's a very nice award because you're actually selected by a group of your peers for outstanding work. And they usually have three or four people in each category who are nominated. And then one of those nominees is chosen. So that is the big, you know, drum roll. And it's a wonderful, you do get wonderful recognition from your peers, which I think is what it's all about.
Well, congratulations for winning that. So tell us, I'm not much of a cook, if you ever listen to our show, I try to be, and I do more grilling than I do cooking in the kitchen. But tell us, what are some of your favorite, from your book, what are some of your favorite recipes for eggs?
Well, if I was going to walk away from this interview today having made one contribution to your culinary expertise, I would like to teach you the correct way to hard cook an egg. And the first thing you're going to do is you're not going to call it hard boiled. It's not boiled, it's cooked. And the reason is that boiling that egg is what turns the iron in the yolk green. So if you get hard-cooked eggs or hard, quote-unquote, incorrectly boiled eggs, you're going to open up that egg and you're going to have this sort of unsightly green rim around the yolk.
Which I always do when I cook them, yes, okay.
Okay, so you're not going to do that anymore because this is the way you're going to cook your eggs. You're going to put them in a saucepan, and you're going to put them in one layer. So say you're hard-cooking four eggs or five eggs. Put them in one layer, cover them with water. You're going to set these, you're going to put them on the stove, uncovered, and you're going to set the heat at medium high, and you're going to keep an eye on that water, and as soon as it starts to break bubbles on the top, which means it's just beginning to get near the boiling point, you're going to take it off the heat, you're going to put a cover on it, and you're going to set the timer for 15 minutes, and those eggs are going to sit in that very, very hot water for 15 minutes. And then, now this is if you want nice, firm yolks. If you'd like an egg that, like they serve on salade niçoise, which is a little soft in the middle, maybe will only set the timer for 10 or 12 minutes. But for generally, people want, a firm yolk. So you're going to set the timer for 15 minutes. Those eggs are not going to be on the fire. They're just going to be in very hot water for 15 minutes covered. Then you're going to pour that. Now that's now hot water off. You're going to add very cold water. You're going to crack the eggs lightly against the side of the pan so some of that cold water, you might even put some ice in it, can seep under the shell, and that's going to make it easier for you to slip off that shell. Huh. And you're going to have perfectly cooked, hard-cooked eggs for your deviled eggs, for your egg salad, just to eat out of hand. And you're going to thank me every time you make it.
Very interesting, because you're exactly right. Every time I quote unquote boiled an egg, I would boil it for sometimes longer than I should have because I forget they were on the stove. But I would boil them. You're right; they'd have that green tint on the outside of the yolk, and then when you go try to peel them, 9 times out of 10, you get the shell that sticks to the egg, and you pull up hunks of egg. So it's like a crock pot cooking way of cooking eggs. So you wait till the water just starts boiling, and you take it off the heat, put a cover on it, and let it sit there for 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's like a slow cooker. Now, there's another little hint about the not being able to peel them easily. Scientifically, eggs are very acidic when they're very fresh. We don't have to know that because that's too complicated for us. But if eggs are a little bit older, for instance, if you're going to be making, say you're making hard-cooked eggs, you're going to be making deviled eggs next weekend for a party. You know that. Buy your eggs a week ahead and put them in the back of the refrigerator and let them stand. Don't buy fresh laid eggs or don't buy really fresh eggs. The older the egg is, and I don't mean ancient, but I mean just, a week or two old, or maybe even 3 weeks old, they're still good because you've kept them refrigerated. They will be much, much easier to peel. So that's one thing to remember as well. If you're going to be poaching an egg, you want really fresh eggs because you want the yolk to stand up and the white, and you want the white to be really tight. But if you're going to be hard cooking them, you buy them ahead.
Now, all these tricks of the trade when it comes to egg are all in your book called The Good Egg?
They're all in The Good Egg, which is published by Houghton Mifflin, and it's available all over. Independent bookstores can order it, and, of course, it's available online. It's in paper now. It's the full size, but it has a paper cover, and it's less than $20. It's an amazing buy because it's a big, thick book. It has over 200 recipes. And one of the things I'm going to be making for Easter is I'm going to be making stuffed eggs, good old-fashioned deviled eggs, nice and spicy. instead of with Tabasco, I think I'm going to use Sriracha, which is the new hot sauce. Not new, it's not a new hot sauce, but it seems to be taking the cooking world by storm. And then I also have a favorite Italian stuffed egg where instead of using mayonnaise, I smash up the yolk with olive, with really good olive oil.
Wow, that sounds good.
And that's really good, too.
So of all these 20-plus cookbooks that you have, what are some of the titles and different things that you attack in your cookbooks?
Okay, well, one of the first books I did was 365 Ways to Cook Pasta.
Wow.
And that was pretty amazing book. I was quite new at this task, and I remember saying to my editor, "Where does one start?" And she just looked at me and she said, "Page by page." And I've used that's been my mantra throughout, and it's really true. As each page, each day goes by, you do a recipe, and you know, before you know it, you know, you have a whole stack. But anyway, that was the first one, and then I did. I did a book on rice. I did a lot of single subjects. I did a book on rice called Rice, the Amazing Grain. And I followed that up 10 years later with another book on rice, which was called The Amazing World of Rice. Because in that 10 years, we had gone from brown, white, and maybe some exotic arborio once in a while to every color of rices from the world. You know, basmati rice and black rice and red rice. And so I wanted to address all those. So I did a second book on rice.
Come a long way from Uncle Ben's, right?
Absolutely. Have we ever. My goodness. And it's so interesting. And then I did a book on figs called Fig Heaven, which is my California book. I moved to California and just I'd never seen so many figs. Everybody had fig trees in their yards, and it was just amazing. And I've always loved figs. So that was really cool.
Did you know that figs are aphrodisiacs?
Well, they say that. They say that. A lot of things are, but yes. it's a very voluptuous fruit. Let's put it that way.
Well, I always had a thing for Fig Newton, so I don't know if that's why or not. But
yeah, and I'll tell you, I have a recipe in Fig Heaven for homemade Fig Newtons that are amazing. Just amazing.
Right.
You'll never go back once you've made your own or have someone make them for you. I did a lot of healthy cooking because I was a columnist for Bon Appetit for 18 years.
Oh, wow.
And I wrote a column called Cooking for Health. I wrote it with Richard Sachs for a while, and then I did it on my own. And we did a book called Lighter, Quicker, Better, which actually won a James Beard Award. So I had two Beard Awards.
Wow.
Which was
congratulations.
Very, very quite an honor. And then I did some Fresh and Fast, which are just sort of home-cooked meals that you do very quickly without using convenient products. I'm very big on that. I like pure foods, but I don't think you should have to spend hours in the kitchen. I just think people should cook. Yeah, people should just be able to cook good foods easily. So I did Fresh and Fast. And then I've actually, my last book was Fresh and Fast Vegetarian. And although I'm not a vegetarian, I am an omnivore, I eat everything. We eat a lot of vegetarian meals because I've been known to be called the queen of beans. I love beans and grains and those kinds of foods and can make a meal for them.
I've been known to be called full of beans, so we're close. You're queen of beans.
Full of beans, yes. Well, I'm that too on occasion. I think those of us who get so involved with food are, you know, we're very blustered. We're very passionate about food, and whether you want to listen or not, you know, we just go on and on and on and on and on and on. So, and I wrote this really beautiful book for Sur La Table called Things Cooks Love. That's the big cookware chain that's in most major cities, and they did a very beautiful book that I wrote for them. That was a wonderful project. I love that project, and it's I think you can get it in their stores and online. In their from their website, and at this point, I did it quite a few years back, but that's a really great book as well. So I have a website; it's just mariesimmons.com. I have a new book coming in June, which is called Taste of Honey.
Taste of Honey, okay.
Taste of Honey. It's a book all about honey, and it's mostly about honey.
Wasn't that the name of like a 1970s disco fan? Honey.
I think it was the name of, yes, and I think it probably was. It also was the name of a film, I think.
So anyway,
but it's all about the taste, the different taste of honey, the different varietals.
that, you know, blackberry honey, star thistle honey, buckwheat honey, avocado blossom honey, and why they are different colors, different shades, and how the flavors differ and how you use them in recipes. So that was a very, very exciting project. I had a great time with that.
And you said that's coming out when?
June, just a few months.
So June, if anybody wants to find your any of your cookbooks, the past ones and the new ones, they can go to mariesimmons.com, or they can, I assume they can also go to the major book locations like Amazon?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, a friend of mine told me that you can pre-order Taste of Honey, so I didn't even realize that. I'm in the process now of setting up a Facebook page for Taste of Honey, and I have a regular Facebook page, but now they're the media, you know, at my publisher, the very cool media people who are like, you know, could be my grandchildren, they are they're urging me to set up a Facebook page for the new book for social marketing. So I'm getting it. I just started doing that. It's up there, but I don't know how effective it is. I just did it yesterday. I have to do more stuff on it and get it figured out. But yes, I hope people are listening. They'll go find that and they'll like it.
Right.
I think at this point it's under my name, but you can. I'm going to put a little link on my website and also on my regular page where you can like it from there. And, so it's kind of exciting. You know, there's all kinds of stuff going on.
I want all the listeners to go check out all your books and check out your website and also go to your Facebook page. And we appreciate you taking a few minutes to be on our show this morning. And like we talked about at the beginning of the show, maybe you should do a special book on recipes for peeps. That might be, I don't know how big a seller that would be, but you might want to think about that in the future.
Well, it wouldn't be. It'd be a very slender recipe book on my part, since I probably would have about three sentences, but it'd have to be somebody else who, maybe the Pete's Sushi, I think it would be very hard to slice those.
Yeah, that would be kind of tough. Well, thank you, Marie. We appreciate you joining us this morning. And everyone check out mariesimmons.com and keep us posted when your Taste of Honey comes out, and we'll help promote it on our website at the and also the Grey and Ideas Facebook page. And thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure. Take care. Have a great day. Bye.
You take care, too. Thank you. And everybody, we're going to take a brief break, and we're going to have our next guest celebrity chef Diane DeMeo, and I'm going to take a brief break here with Sister Monica, one of my favorite singing guests that we had, about a year ago. And a matter of fact, Sister Monica, we're trying to get her back on the show, but I'm going to play one of her songs here as we take a break, and we'll be joining Diane, Chef Diane, here right after the break. Everyone hang tight, we'll be right back.
Hug me like you love me, baby, don't you let me go.
And then you have to wait. You pull numbers out of a pan before you go in to cook. That tells when the judges will actually taste your spoon. These are things that you don't see on TV. So you can be number 1, number 10, or number 16, which means you have to go through their whole dialogue and stand there and wait for them to actually taste your spoon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty intense, and you're sequestered the whole time, so you don't know whether they're going to like it. And they were pretty brutal, I have to say. You know, editing is wonderful, but they were pretty brutal.
Well, you know, I realize they do a lot of editing in shows like that because you can't, like you said, you could, it'd be like an all-day show if you went through the whole process. But the one question I've been dying to ask you, music in the background, which to me is like, you know, that dramatic music, it's kind of like irritating to me. Do you hear that while you're doing the competition?
Thank goodness, no. It's like, you're right. It's like a cross between, like, drama, a shark's coming up, and really bad porn. It was not, you know, I agree. It's not, it's not there. But you do have 4 or 5 cameras on you, and they're asking you questions as you're cooking.
Yeah, because I thought maybe what we do is we could do this interview with, we could have, like, dramatic music behind us while we do your interview. Because it kind of, it could be like the television show. Does this work? I thought that might be appropriate.
I think so, but I need to be cursing at somebody while this is happening, because that was usually what I was doing. So if you could beat me cursing, then we've emulated this.
Well, I think you should have won, and I know that you're engaged, so I hope that your fiance doesn't care. But if you got points for being the hottest, Jeff, you should have won in my book.
Thank you. Woo, that's something. Yes. If not for anything else, I did get good cleavage comments, so that was always fun. Yeah.
So tell me more. You were on The Taste, and everybody knows you from the TV show, but tell us a bit more about you. I understand, looking at your bio here, that I know you've been a chef for quite a while, and you're a self-taught chef, and you've got a product that's called Bootleg Farms.
Right.
I like to always ask the questions that other people don't like to ask and go different directions that probably people don't go, but how in the heck did you get into pickles?
Well, I was doing a lot of work as a chef, and then I went straight into consulting because I just didn't feel like I could take standing on my feet for far too long anymore, those hours. And I would make sauces and pickles for the restaurants that I was either an executive chef in or an executive chef consultant. And after a while, I thought to myself, you know what, this is stupid. Here are these restaurants making money off of my product. Why don't I just do this myself for me?
Right.
So I created the name, I had help with the branding, and then I just started going with it. I did a lot of scientific experiments, and those were always fun, but that's how it started. It wasn't
and it's
something...
called Bootleg Farms. And how did you come up with the name Bootleg Farms?
Because I make it out of my kitchen in Bed-Stuy.
Very good.
Yeah, there you go. I grew up on a ranch, and a lot of the neighbors back in the day would collect all the fruit that we call seconds because they're not perfect, and they would make moonshine. It was bootleg, and we would make our own bootleg dried fruits and everything else. So that's kind of where I got that from. I grew up doing this in a way, so I thought, well, why not? Let's just call it bootleg because I love the name, you know.
Yes. Very good. And then what kind of pickles do you have? Is there any, I assume you have like dill, and you have sweet pickles, or do you have all kinds of different flavors of pickles?
I try to stay away from what's already out there. So I have like a Korean spicy pickle, a kimchi, sriracha, the Korean barbecue sauce. I have traditional garlic dill pickles, jalapeno and escabeche. So I try to go across the board of global in terms of both pickles and sauces.
Now, you can find these pickles and sauces at Whole Foods? Is that where you're...
Whole Foods on 2nd Avenue in the city of New York City, but also Dean and DeLuca carries a couple of products, and one of them in particular is the Korean barbecue sauce nationwide in all their stores, and online, of course. And Open Sky will carry a full line very soon, all the time.
Well, they sound very, very tasty. And then you've also got something here that's called the Movable Raw Bar. Now, what is that?
That is a raw bar pop-up, kind of like an underground restaurant that moves around and hits different areas. And depending on my mood, the theme could be anywhere from, let's say, oysters to clams with different types of, like, sauces on them to lobster rolls or fried soft-shell crab. And it's all seafood-centric. Everything is just focused around that. And generally, there's some raw stuff that goes on in there as well.
Yeah, so you take this from restaurant to restaurant or to outings and that type of thing? Is it something that you do is it like a franchise, or you personally do this?
I personally do this. This is usually like in people's backyards, and there's a charge for it. There's like champagne or a rooftop somewhere. Right now I've just started moving into not necessarily restaurant spaces, but spaces that have a kitchen in it. So there's a cross between the raw bar and Hooves and Teats, which is like a different dim sum cart, movable, with different head-to-tail food on it.
Okay. Now let's go back to, you said you were on CHOP. Now, did you actually win CHOP?
I did, yeah.
So what kind of experience was that, being on the CHOP show? You said it wasn't as, I guess, mind-boggling and pressure as The Taste, but can you give us some inside scoop on being on CHOP?
Sure. Well, considering that I was on second season, and now I think they're well into their 16th season, so it's a little different. But back then, literally, and this is, again, a time where I hadn't been in the kitchen for a couple of years, literally.
Okay.
And they bring you in, it's 5:30 in the morning, and all of a sudden they're like, blah, 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 and then you're ushered into one room, and someone comes in, you're like, blah, 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 and you're so tired, you don't know what's going on. And then all of a sudden they're like, okay, out to the kitchen, and they take you literally through the pantry, through everything within a second. Here you go, here you go, here you go. Open the refrigerator. Okay, now back over there. So before you know it, seriously, that's how it was. And everything is all displaced, okay? Over in that corner, you've got the plates, which makes no sense. And over here, there's the pantry. And, oh, look, over by the sugar, there might be one Robocue hiding. And then they're like, okay, oh, blah, 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 and you're ushered in front of this basket. And they're like, okay, ready, open. And you're sitting there going, excuse me? Like, you kind of soil your pants at the same time before you know it, you're cooking. And you've got cameras on you again, Ted Allen in your face. And then you have the judges that you can hear, oh, I wonder if he's going to be done in time. Is she really putting that in there?
Oh, so you can actually hear them talking when you're doing that?
They're 10 feet away on their little their judge platform. Yeah, they're right there.
I didn't realize. I thought maybe it was like golf, you know, when golfers are golfing and they have the guys in the background talking and they're kind of whispering. I didn't realize you can actually hear the judges while the actual competition is going on.
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, you hear everything, good and bad, what they're saying. So it's like registering in your head, like, do I want to fly over there and punch them in the head, or do I want to continue with cooking? You know, it's like, what am I doing? You know, and you have to get 4 plates done at the same time, plus 1 beauty shot, you know, and 20 minutes for an appetizer. And they literally back then would sabotage you. They wouldn't screw the bottom on for the blender. You know, they would have this, or the stove was literally like, really, the BTUs on that was like a camper. It was so minimal that if you didn't get your pan on the stove the moment that you walked in there, your meat fell in it and turned gray and all the juice leaked out of it. That's basically what was going on.
Some of the problems that you see on TV, you think they're actually sabotaging and doing it on purpose just to see how you react and what you would do with an issue like that. So, and I wondered about that. Sometimes these reality shows, you have to wonder, like, did that really happen? Did the stove not really work? So that did occur, but do you think they were just doing that just to make it more of an interesting TV show?
It has to be, because you think about it. People that they're bringing in, generally speaking, are either they bring it like the American Idol effect, like that he rang, you know, for the mere joke fact. But 99% of the time, they're bringing in people who are capable. So if you don't add little things to go wrong, you're not going to have as much drama, because people in general, again, when you're in front of a camera, you don't create drama because you're trying to be good. You're trying to look good.
Right.
So there has to be malfunctions that happen to give reason for drama.
Very
interesting. Otherwise, you wouldn't have a TV show, right?
Exactly. And I love how they come up with it. We'd like you to make an appetizer, and we want you to use oysters and chocolate bars and anchovies. Go.
Yeah, and candy corn. Go.
Candy corn. There you go.
And make it taste good.
Yeah, they make it taste good. Well, do you have any new plans, any new TV shows you're going to be on, or any new projects you're working on?
Well, I happen to have a show right now that's international that's on TLC Discovery. Depending on what country you're in, we'll change the name. In Mexico, it's Chef Arrascate. In the States, it was called Mission Menu, and in some countries, it's still called Mission Menu. That's like a consulting restaurant. Three people, myself and two other male chefs, go around, you know, tearing up restaurants, the same thing that you would see on Gordon Ramsay's show, but not as brutal.
Right.
I do have a YouTube series coming out. It's like Chef Diane DeMeo in the Kitchen, and also has Bootleg Tip, so it's two different shows. It's kind of like a cross between Anthony Bourdain and Diane DeMeo in their own right, you know. Yeah, it's like a little bit of both. And then hopefully soon, yeah, there will be another TV show coming up very soon. I can't really talk about it, but, you know, fingers crossed everything will go well, and in the next 8 months we'll see something good.
It's always funny when people come on my show. I don't know if you know Emily Ellen, but Emily was on our show last week, and she's working on something that she can't tell either. So every time people come on my show, they say, well, yeah, there's something in the works, but Secret Squirrel made me sign a paper, and I can't tell you yet.
It's terrifying. It's terrifying. You know, it's just like, okay, well, I lost the show 8 months ago, and I can't tell anybody. You know what I mean? It's just like, oh, sorry, the sad look in my face must give something. No, but for a show, yeah, we signed such ironclad confidentiality agreements that it's really difficult. But people can look forward to seeing me. I'll be the executive chef for the 2013 Red Bull Music Academy in New York City this year, which will be fun. Yeah, we'll have some good things going on there, but always something going on for sure.
Well, we appreciate you taking a few minutes to be on our show, and if people want to find you, they can find you on Facebook. They can also find you on your website, which is Diane DeMeo, it's DIMEO.com. And is there anywhere else they can find information about you? They want to find out more about Joe's and all that?
On my Twitter feed, Chef Diane DeMeo, please, please, please go to my Twitter and sign up, and always find me on Facebook for sure. My Facebook and Twitter are always the most number one hot spots to find out the tarantula that I might have just eaten or where I'm at next.
Well, thank you very much. It was very interesting in talking to you and getting some of the back information and what goes on in some of these shows. And you're welcome to come on anytime. You've got anything new to introduce or a new project or stuff, please look us up and join our little crazy foodie show that comes on Saturday mornings. And thank you very much for joining us today.
And thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun, and I'll be on soon again, I'm sure.
All right. Well, take care, and I should probably play your theme song as I go to break. I think I will. That's going to be your new theme song on our show, the superhero music. And
the Cruella superhero music. We can have the
there
Cruella
you go.
In there, too. Okay.
All right. Well, take care. Thank you, Diane.
Thank you, dear. Bye.
Bye-bye. Everybody, check it out. You can find more information, like I said, on her website. It's Diane DeMeo, and I'm going to take a brief break. And we have a band joining us. It's an alternative rock band called Define the Revolution. And I'm going kind of off the edge here today with some new music that I have to say I'm not much of an alternative rock guy, but I want to give these guys a chance to come on and play the music. And they're part of Todd Berry's group. Todd got the Short Circuit Records group, and Todd was one of our guests. In fact, Todd is I kind of use his song for my intro sometimes. His song is called Politically Incorrect Redneck, which is a lot like me. So, in fact, I think that's what I'll play. I'll play that as we go to break, and then after that, I'm going to play one of the songs from Define the Revolution, and then the band should be joining us after we play the music, so everyone hang tight. The first song is Todd Berry, Politically Incorrect Redneck, and then we'll switch right over to some alternative rock. Everyone hang tight. We'll be right back after the music.
I've always been a rebel from deep down in the South, getting my share of trouble. What comes out of my mouth, I call them like I see them. Maybe I come on too strong. You got your opinions and the right to say I'm wrong. That's the way I am. What you see is what you get. I'm a free thinking, beer drinking, politically incorrect redneck. law that sit around all day, making up a list of words we can and cannot say. They got everybody thinking this should be the law. I've read the First Amendment, I know my rights, y'all. Well, call me civil-minded, well, that's what you expect from this free-thinking, beer-drinking, politically incorrect redneck. Oh, tell them so. No regret, I'm a free thinking, beer drinking, politically incorrect redneck. I'm a free thinking, beer drinking, politically incorrect redneck.
That's right. You can tell them all they can kiss my grits. Go look that up in your PC dictionary.
I'll see you.
that was Define the Revolution and their song Cheap Plastic. And the band, one of the band members, I believe, is joining us here, if I can get the system to work this morning. Good morning. Who we got on the phone with us from Define the Revolution?
Yeah, Nate and Chris.
Nate and Chris. Welcome to the show, guys.
How's it going?
All right, it's going pretty good. So you guys are an alternative rock band. I just played your song, Cheap Plastic, and talked to our buddy Todd Berry, and he wanted me to have you on our show and play a little bit of your music. All right, so tell me the background, guys. What's the background to the song Cheap Plastic?
I wrote it a few months ago based on, you see all these people walking around where they just want to be like everybody else, and it's really just fake. And so it's more of a calling out to people that want to be more real with their life, more individual, rather than do what everybody else wants them to do.
Yeah, it's a walk around in their cheap plastic. Now, Nate and Chris, you guys are in the band. Who's doing the singing in that particular song?
I am, Nate.
Nate, okay. And how'd you guys get into being in an alternative rock band?
I mean, it really just seemed to fit the style of music we play. It just feels right. Yeah, we kind of, in the 6 years we've been around, we've jumped around from genre to genre, and we usually land on alternative every time.
So you guys, you say you've been doing this for 6 years?
Yeah.
So do you play in Ohio, right?
Yep.
Whereabouts you guys play? You play at different bars or outings or any kind of like festivals, or what kind of music, where do you play your music?
Well, up until recently, we've just been playing in our town in West Jeff, but we started to branch out and go more Columbus area. And we've been trying to get booked places, but
we're only at Scully's.
Oh, yeah, we're at Scully's Music Diner and McGuffey's in Dayton. And
now, have you guys cut a CD yet, or are you working on that with Todd?
We're working on promoting our EP first.
Okay. And when is that coming out?
I don't know.
Honestly, it's still in production. It was supposed to be early March, but it's looking more like mid-April.
All right, so I'd like to ask you guys, since, you know, this is a food show, and we talk to chefs, and we talk to cookbook people, and we talk to grillers. So do you guys, any of you guys in the band, do you do any cooking or grilling or anything in the kitchen?
Yeah, I actually went to culinary school.
Did you really? No,
yes,
kidding.
Sir.
All right. So what made you decide not to be a chef, or are you still trying to be a chef and just trying to do the music on the side?
Well, really, it's more of like I want to focus on the music career because, I mean, there's always going to be kitchen jobs available. I mean, that field is so, I mean, it's always easy to get a job. I can walk in pretty much anywhere in downtown Columbus and you can find a place that needs a line cook or a sommelier or something along those lines.
Right. So you were trying to do your music first. Well, maybe you could start your own restaurants, and you could, in between serving the guests, you could play you and your band can get up and play in between, like in between dessert, appetizers, and the main course, and play music in between.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah.
That would be defining the revolution. So I want to play another one of your songs and make sure I got the name here right. It's called Home Now.
Hope Now.
I'm sorry, I wrote the wrong thing. Hope Now. So tell me a little bit about the song Hope Now.
That was pretty straightforward. It's just about when you're stuck in a bad situation, you just got to keep hope, never give up.
All right. Well, we're going to play Define the Revolution, and the song is called Hope Now. And we'll be back to chat with the band members here in just a few minutes. Everybody hang tight. Here's Hope Now.
We'll be right back.
To talk a little bit about their band and where they're heading with their music. And Nate, I was just thinking about it. When you get your big tour bus and you guys start cruising around the country, when you're filling up all these big stadiums with your alternative rock, you need to make sure you have a kitchen in the back of the bus so you can prepare foods for the band.
Oh, yeah. We need, yeah.
So do you guys have a website that people want to find out more about your music? Can they find you on Facebook, or do you have a website they can go to?
Yeah, go to facebook.com/DefineTheRevolution.
Define the Revolution, okay. And you can find more information about the band there and about their music. And you guys keep us posted about where things are headed after you get your CDs out and do all the things you're working on with Todd. And you're welcome to come on back on the show. I think you might have converted me into, I might like alternative rock after all.
All right.
All right, guys. Take care. Appreciate you joining us, and keep us posted on how things are going.
All righty.
All right, guys. Everybody check them out. You can find their music, as he said, on facebook.com/DefineTheRevolution. And we appreciate the guys joining us this morning. And I'm going to take a brief break here, and then we'll come back. I've got a few things to talk about with our upcoming shows and also a little bit of food news, and then we'll call it an evening. And I think what I'll do is I'll play a little bit of Bo Porter, who's one of our past guests. I don't know if you guys remember Bo, but one of my favorite songs of Bo Porter called Speak Your Mind. We'll be back here in just a few minutes, and I'll be closing out the show. Everyone, hang tight.
Speak your mind, but not while you're drinking. Liable to say just what you're thinking. Keep the peace, just get along. You might be right, but it could go so wrong. Now, bite your tongue, but don't say nothing. Don't bear push that button. Liquor's talking, but you said it. Open your mouth and you're gonna regret it. Now me and my gal went out the other night. I started drinking, hell, I got tight. That's when she asked me what I thought about her mother. I opened my mouth and, oh, brother, speak your mind, but not while you're drinking. Liable to say just what you're thinking. Keep the peace and just get along. You might be right, but it could go so wrong. Now, don't say nothing, I don't dare push that. your mouth and you're gonna regret it. Get me out of here before I go and do it again.
And that was Bo Porter, Speak Your Mind, but not while you're drinking. And that's one of the problems I seem to have. I wanted to let everybody know that we've got great shows planned for the next 3 weeks. Thank you for everyone who's participating in our show and also listening to our show. Next week, March the 30th, we have Lily Cupcakes. Lily's been on our show before, but she's going at it again with some more cupcake ideas and business, and she wants to come on and give us an update about her business. And then we've got a group called Meat America, M-E-A-T America, and that's going to be a very interesting conversation about meat, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Join the show, and they got a really cool book that we'll be talking about. And then we have Halo Music joining us next week. And then the following week, April the 6th, we got Smokey D coming on to talk about his new rubs that he's come out with. And if you guys remember Smokey D, he's been on our show before with his barbecue sauces, and he's going to be coming on April the 6th to tell about his new barbecue rubs, and I might be able to even convince him to play his harmonica for us. And we have, I can't even read my own writing, we've got a produce guy coming on, but I can't even read his name, Michael somebody. Michael's joining us to talk about produce, and I'm sorry, I can't read my own writing. And then Emily Ellen will be joining us on April the 6th to announce a new project that she's involved in on television, but she can't tell us till then. And then April the 13th, Katarina will be joining us again, Kitty Cat, with her sexy desserts, and she'll be joining us. I'm not sure what she's going to be talking about next on the 13th, but I'm sure it'll be good. And then Jimmy Charles will be joining us, the singer. Jimmy's been on the show before. He's got some new music he's going to be introducing. And then Dawn Garcia will be joining us on April 13th, A Taste of Dawn. And Dawn has a radio show herself about food, and she'll be joining us to talk about her show and some of the projects she's working on. So that's kind of a rundown of the next 3 weeks, and next week I'll know who the produce guy is. I can read my own writing. Also, I want to thank everyone. We were number one in the cooking category, featured shows for Blog Talk Radio once again this past week. So thank you for listening. Thank you for telling your friends about our show. We try to keep this thing flowing with foodie friends and keep you entertained as best we can. So thank you for listening. The numbers keep going up. Looks like March is going to be bigger than it was in February, and February was a record breaker for us. So thank you, everyone, for all your support. And let's see here. I got time for one little – let's see. Yes, I got time for one little food news story here that I picked up that you might be interested in. That's America's New Love for Water. It wasn't too long ago that America had a love affair with soda, but now it's turned out that water is the choice over soda. As New York City grapples with the legality of a ban on the sale of large cups of soda and other sugary drinks at some businesses, one thing is clear, soda run as the nation's beverage of choice has fizzled. In its place, a favorite for much of history is plain old H2O. For more than two decades, soda was the number one drink in the U.S. Americans drank just 42 gallons a year of water at the time. But over the years, as soda increasingly comes under fire for fueling the nation's rising obesity, water quietly has risen to knock it off the top spot. Stephen Ngo, whatever his name is, a civil defense attorney, quit drinking soda a year ago when he started running triathlons and wanted a healthier way to quench his thirst. Americans kept drinking more and more carbonated and sugary drinks for about a decade, but then soda's magic started to fade. Everyone from doctors to health advocates to government officials were blaming soft drinks for people getting fat. And drinking too many of them does it too. Consumption started declining after hitting a high in the late 1990s. At the same time, people started turning to bottled water as an alternative. Its popularity has helped be the emergence of a single-serve bottle that were easy to carry around. Until then, bottled water had mainly been sold in big jugs and coolers that people didn't trust their water supply. So the new thing that's going on now is, of course, water is the big deal, as we all should know. And it looks like everybody's getting into the water business, just kind of briefly going through the list of folks that are in it. But people like Nestle, Polar Spring, Nestle Pure Life, Deer Park, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, everyone's in the water business now. And at a beverage industry conference late last year, Kim Jeffrey is the name of the person, noted that bottled water is the elephant in the room. And given the growing warnings over drinking too many calories included from juice, milk, and other sugary drinks, Jeffrey said his confidence that water will continue to grow in popularity. So there you go. Drink your water, folks. And on that note, I'm down to my last 5 minutes here, so I'm going to pick a song for us to close out the show and play one of our ads from one of our sponsors. Everyone, we appreciate once again your support each and every Saturday morning. We'll keep doing this if you keep listening. Tell your friends if you want to be on the show. All you got to do is contact us. If you're in the food business or you have a talent and like to join us, just let me know, grayandideas@earthlink.net, or contact us through Facebook, and we love to have you on the show. Everyone, have a nice weekend. I'm going to close out the show with an ad by one of our sponsors, Baxter's Original. Everyone, have a nice weekend, and I'm going to go watch some basketball and see who wins in the NCAA. Everyone, take care, and we will see you next week.
Baxter's Original Premium Barbecue Supply, located at 115 10 Mile Road in Fitzgerald, is where you'll find all of your barbecue supplies in one place. They have competition-grade barbecue sauces, high-quality specialty rub. Baxter's is the home of Komodo Joe ceramic grills, which are better than the Big Green Egg. Shop online at www.baxtersoriginal.com or visit Baxter's Original Premium Barbecue Supply at 115 10 Mile Road or call 229-425-6583.
remember. I've been crying about these low-cast blues.